morning from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 14. Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 14. If you are using a pew Bible from page 1342. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have attained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, of whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We ask the Lord's blessing upon the reading of his Holy Scripture. Here in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, you find that Paul kind of moves away a little bit from what he normally does in his letters. Usually in his letters, he'll have his greeting, and then he'll talk about the things that he is thankful for the church. Or really, really what he's thankful for about the church. But here, he greets, and then he starts out with what he is thankful for the church. And what he's thankful for is that they have been given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of things, been given the good things. As he puts it here, that God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And what he's blessing him for, he is thankful for. He's saying, and the word blessed there is a word that is used in two different ways. It's two different words, blessed and blessed. But it's the same word, just kind of conjugated a little bit different way. But what we'll find is in that word is that the only time it is used is when it's talking about either blessing God or God's blessings. It only pertains to God. And he says, blessed are you, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, that he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. Now, we may think, you know, in this world that we live in, we look around us and we see, you know, a lot of the things that we are thankful for. How often when we pray to God that we are thankful for his spiritual blessings that he has bestowed upon us. We may be thankful for the car that we drive. We may be thankful for the house that we are living in. We may be thankful for our friends. We may be thankful for our family. We may be thankful for our pets. We may be thankful for our jobs, although sometimes it's hard to be thankful for them, but we may be thankful for them because we know that they provide for us. But how often we think about the things of this earth, don't we? We think about the things that are of this earth. We think about those things. But Paul says that he is thankful for the church at Ephesus that they have been given all things spiritual. All things spiritual. Because, you see, the things that are spiritual are eternal. The things that are of this world are temporary. Everything that we have in this world is temporary. It doesn't matter how solid it may seem, it is still temporary compared to
the world, the spiritual world of God. The things of the Spirit are things that are eternal. Paul said, I am so thankful to God. I bless God every day that He has given you these eternal things. That you have these eternal things. But also, he's thankful because the church at Ephesus realizes that they've been given these eternal things. Now, these things were proposed. We have a lot here. Predestined is mentioned here. Predestination. And of course, a lot of us have a understanding of what we think is an understanding of what predestination is all about. And we can read Knox, and we can read Calvin, and we know there with our Presbyterian brothers and sisters what they think of when they think of predestination. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. Even though they have taken the scripture and they have taken it out of context, that's not what Paul is talking about here. Predestination here is not that I've been predestined to be saved and you have not been predestined to be saved. It has nothing to do with that. Predestination here is talking about God's plan of salvation. That God has predestined this plan of salvation. That God has predestined from before the earth, before the foundations of the earth, before the foundations of the earth, before the earth was even created. That God had put into place His plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of times we like to think about that. We say, you know, well, it's kind of like cookbook chemistry here. You take this step and you do this step and you do this step and you do this step. And God learned from his failures, so to speak. You know, Adam kind of blew it, so he had to look for a different plan of salvation. Things didn't go so well for a while, so he had to have the flood. He had to look for a different plan of salvation after Noah. And then, of course, we have the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Paul says, no. Those were temporary. That at the appointed time, that before the foundations of the earth, before even anything was created. You know, it kind of brings to mind a little bit the Gospel of John, right? In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and there was not anything that was created. Until without Him, talking about Jesus Christ, Paul was saying, man, you've been given this, the greatest of gifts. You have been given the spiritual gifts, the spiritual knowledge. You've been given the Holy Spirit. You've been given the eternal gifts, the knowledge of the eternal things that God has brought into the fullness of time through His Son, Jesus Christ. Just read the second verse. Read the second verse and see what it says. And I got to read it because I want to get it absolutely right. And he says, just as He, this is God, just as He, God, chose us in Him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The plan of salvation was there all along. One of the stories in the Old Testament. And a lot of times we don't read that story the way we should. Because you have God and He's talking to Abraham. And He's already changed His name from Abram to Abraham. He's already told him that He was going to be father of many nations. And He's talking to Abraham on this night, and Abraham says, how is this going to be? And God tells him to look up at the sky. And the translation here says to count the stars. And all that's what we're thinking there. We're thinking that Abraham says there, counting 1, 2, 3, 4. And we know that's not possible. Now, you might be able to do that around here right now. I know in my neighborhood, because of the lights in the neighborhood, you don't see that many stars. But I can remember a few years back when I was going out to Spokane, Washington, I was going to the dog show out there. It was just me and my three dogs. And I tried to get out in the morning. I tried to keep the dogs on the same schedule, which is kind of hard to start out in Georgia and end up in Spokane, Washington, to keep the dogs on the same schedule. But I was trying to do that. I remember I was leaving out of a small town from a hotel I stayed in Iowa. And the town itself was like, oh gosh, about 40 miles from the South Dakota line. And I remember I pulled off to the side of the road after I got outside the town. And I pulled off to the side of the road. I didn't turn the engine off. I was afraid if I turned it on out, turned it off out there, I was going to get cranked again. And you know, out there in the middle of absolute nowhere, because there wasn't nothing. There wasn't a light. There wasn't a farmhouse light. There wasn't a security light. There wasn't even tractor trailers going up and down the road. And I remember I got out and I walked and I leaned up against the front of the van and I looked up and it was incredible how many stars were up there. I remember thinking to myself, now why would God tell Abraham to try to count stars? Because you know that's what it was like for him to look up and you see it's almost like there's clouds of stars up there. Incredible. Incredible. That wasn't what God was saying. God was telling Abraham to look at the stars. And we know that there's 12 constellations in the stars. And what happened there, you see, is that God pointed out the constellations, and he told the story of the virgin birth, and he's told the story through the constellations about his plan of salvation for humanity. And it tells us just right after that Abraham believed God. And it was garnered to him as righteousness. He knew the plan of salvation. God had told him what he was going to do. He's going to be the father of many nations. He's going to be the father of many kings. And out of his kingdom going to come, and that king is going to be David. And out of that line of kings was going to come. And out of that line of kings would come a Savior, which was Christ the Lord. Now you got to think about this. Here's Abraham. God had told him, he was in the Ur of Chaldeans, you know. He said, go, leave where you're at and go to a place that I will show you. He didn't even tell him where he's going. He just said, go to a place where I'll show you and I will give that to you. And Abraham got up and he left and he took his wife and his family and he went to the place that God showed him. But the thing was, Abraham never saw that land given to him. Isaac, his son, never saw that land given to him. Jacob, his grandson, never saw that land given to him. As a matter of fact, it was another almost 440 years before that land was given to the people of Israel, before the promise was secured. And it was another 500 or 600 years before Solomon had as part of the kingdom everything that God had promised. Abraham never saw it. He believed. He believed. And God considered him righteous. And so Paul's sitting there and he's talking to the church in Ephesus and he says, man, the Lord has given you the spiritual gift of eternity. He has given you the gift of salvation that he has put together with the Son prior to even the foundation of the earth. And you have made heirs. Heirs. The appointed time has come according to his appointed time. The time of Jesus is coming. And we're talking about God. 2,000 years after the promise to Abraham, the promised time had come. Those of you my age, you probably remember the opera, the rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. You know, one of my favorite songs is the song of Judas, and he asks, why did you come such a strange time, such a strange place, such a strange land? Why did you come now? God's appointed time. He tells the church of Ephesus, And because you have, because you have believed the word that God has told you, believe the gospel that I have told you, believe the truth, you've been given these spiritual gifts. You've been given the belief of eternity. You have been made heirs with Christ. That the purchase price has been paid. That God has provided a way that you will never, the remission of sins, that you will never have to fall away again. The path has been paved back. And made heirs, joined heirs with Jesus Christ. Then he says that you have been given the earnest gift. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Think about that. He goes on and he uses the Greek word here, and it's translated here the guarantee. But what it is like in our modern language today, if you've ever bought a house or purchased land, you put down what? Earnest money. So much money is towards how much the house is going for you, or how much the people who are willing to accept is earnest money. It tells us that we, that God has put forth is earnest money. But the earnest money is not money. The earnest money is the Holy Spirit. Because although the price has been fully paid, Christ's death on the cross has totally paid for our sins. The total of eternity is not there yet. And we've talked about, as we move through the Advent season, we talked about the new heaven and the new earth, the new heaven coming down and the new earth, and the old heaven and the old earth will pass away, and the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And we talked about that from out here. It hasn't happened yet. But the promise is that it is going to happen. But until it happens, we have been given God's earnest promise. And the earnest promise was not a word. It wasn't a financial amount. But it was the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And we've been given the Holy Spirit as the earnest that God has brought to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, His plan of salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Until we receive our possession. That's really what it says. Here in verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? But this is here, translated directly from the Greek, our promised possession until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And through the Holy Spirit, we know our place. We know our place in history. We know our place in God's plan. We know our place as far as salvation goes. We know our place because God has given us Himself. He has sealed us. He has made Himself through the Holy Spirit His earnestness. Until this whole thing, to His whole eternal reality comes together. We move from Christmas, we move into this year. Think about the promise. something that is material. Something that crumble away, dissolve, crumble. But he sealed his covenant with us by giving us his Holy Spirit. And we are sealed. That our possession is assured, that our inheritance cannot be taken away.